Part 2. Journeys. As I have come to understand, the greatest gift afforded me by my training with the monks of the Monastery of the Yellow Rose, the realization has both shocked and enlightened me. One might think that greatest gift to be the strengthened connection between my mind and my body, a truer understanding of that which I want to perform, and the deeper interactions of my physical form required to more easily and more completely execute the movement. I could always jump up in the air, for example, spin about and kick out my trailing foot as I turned. Almost any warrior, certainly any drow warrior, could do such a thing. But now my mind is speaking to the finer parts of my body, coordinating better the turn of my hips, the angle of my foot, the coil of the muscles on the back of my thigh, and the timing of the release of the kick. Where before, I might force back an opponent with such a maneuver. Now I can end the fight with that single heavy blow if my opponent has not properly balanced and blocked to defend. I do not understate the beauty of this gift. I can even manipulate my muscles to push poison from a wound. But this is not the greatest of the treasures I have gained. One might think that greatest gift to be the understanding of ki, of life energy, of being able to reach within and pull forth power beyond that of muscle and bone. The addition of this inner energy allows me to throw an opponent several strides away when I strike with my open hand. It allows me to find my wounds and turn my blood and muscles and all that is physically within me into some mediation of those injuries. With ki and the understanding of my physical form, I now run faster and jump higher. I make my scimitar strikes follow quicker and in perfect balance. I am a finer warrior. But no, this is not the greatest of Grandmaster Kane's imparted treasures. And then there is transcendence. I escape the retriever with this act, melting my physical body into everythingness, becoming a part of all that was around me, the elemental star stuff that is the one eternal in the multiverse, that of which we and all we see about us is made. The sheer, unspeakable beauty of transcending the limitations of the physical form so fully would have left me forever there. A better place, a truer and fuller existence and understanding than anything I have ever known or could ever know in this physical life. But even this transcendence is not that which I now consider in this moment of my existence, the greatest gift of all. That pinnacle is reserved for the quietest of Grandmaster Kane's teachings, for meditation, true meditation. Has freed me of the most common curse of the reasoning beings, be they drow, human, halfling, dwarf, elf, or perhaps even the goblin kin and giant kind, perhaps even others I do not begin to understand. An unconscious bent towards some determined level of tension. This is the gift that I am even now most determinedly trying to impart upon my dear little Bree. For it is the remedy to a curse that I have come to believe is imparted in the earliest years of life. That curse cannot be understated, and I suspect it a universal affliction, determined by degrees, not by its presence or absence. We all have within us a level of tumult, a vibration in our hearts, our minds, our very souls, which we are most comfortable with as normal. Like a pebble dropped into still water, that tumult is a result of drama, of conflict in mind or body or both. This sense of normalcy is taught very young and refined as we become fully reasoning beings. The curse lies in not understanding it. In its most extreme circumstances, I have seen it in myself or in King Brunner, surely. When we both grew uneasy, itchy even, as we created about us an environment of peace and comfort. Ah, to the road was our common call to action, even when action wasn't needed. Because the vibrations, the inner conflict, was needed for us to feel normal. Brunner hates being king when all the world about him is settled. It bores him profoundly, though now, with his wives, perhaps he finds suitable replacements of excitement and conflict. He needs that sense of normalcy, and so he will achieve the needed tension no matter the situation around him. He will grump and moan about one thing or another, often minute, but never would he say a word or care about the small details of the more mundane issues flitting about him when threatened by a horde of demons. In that event, the tension is real and pressing, and thus the little problems no longer matter. The curse, I now see, is that those littler problems do matter without that demon horde, and so they are unconsciously elevated to a place of distraction. I have often wondered if this peace I seek in the world around me isn't really a lie I tell myself, given my own desire for adventure, and yes, even danger. But those are extreme examples of the inner vibrations, extreme and rare, and of urges more easily defeated because they are so obvious, and possibly so destructive or self-destructive. The lesser examples, the smaller pebbles, are ever present in all of us and all about us. They manifest in gossip, in senseless arguments over unimportant actions or debates, in unreasonable fears about things over which we have no control, in silly worries about inadequacies or perceptions that have no place beyond the present in terms of importance. Yet they are magnified within each of us into vibrations and tumult of the mind, of the heart, of the very soul. And thus, the greatest gift I have been granted by my time in the Monastery of the Yellow Rose is the true stilling of all three, of making the pond that is Drisdo Erden so glassy and calm that the reflection of the world around me becomes an accurate representation of that which is, instead of that which is perceived through the ripples of inner tumult and inner vibration. I am free of the itch. I am content in the present, every present, any present. That does not mean that I have surrendered the love of adventure, far from it. Nay, the gift is that now I can choose the adventure. Now I can diffuse the drama. Now I can throw away the fears and the worries to see the picture most clearly and to embrace the best course to repaint that picture or enjoy it without the unsummoned urge. And conversely, what I know now is that I can bring forth that itch more perfectly when it is needed. This blessing of clarity is indeed freedom. All people have long periods of true trial, but their times of true ease seem less so. These moments of peace are often sabotaged, so I now believe, by our own insistence on worrying about things that aren't worth the worry. To create ripples in the stillness creates for them the proper normal. To one who has learned the way of Cain, those ripples are external alone, and when they come, they are seen with perfect clarity. Drisdo Erden.